Welcome to the latest episode in the Enterprise Times podcast series. My name is Ian Murphy, and my guest today is Sita Ali, Area Vice President for Solutions Consulting at Appian.
Thanks, Ian. Great to be here. I'm Area Vice President for Appian, based out of London, looking after our solutions consulting team in EMEA and APAC. But what that ultimately means is that my team is fundamentally responsible for helping our customers understand how our technology can solve their business problems. We're the technical team that supports our go-to-market team.
One of the things we've seen in 2020 has been a significant surge in the use of low-code tools. What were the key drivers that you saw?
It's an interesting question because the adoption of low-code has been gradually increasing by a year. The fundamental driver behind that is a shortage of skilled software developers. More and more software is being demanded by organizations to support their internal as well as their external processes. Trying to find skilled software developers has become a massive shortage. One of the reasons organizations have started to adopt low code is the ability to bridge that gap and not to rely too much on skilled software developers to achieve the outcome. That's one key driver. Some of the other things that organizations have always wanted to achieve is to remain relevant and remain competitive in the market and also adopt and bring innovation. These are always challenges faced when going down the traditional coding route because time is something that isn't forgiving. What tends to happen is if you come to market 12 months late, somebody else has already taken that particular piece of the pie. The other part is demand, the market conditions that often dictate how organizations ultimately respond. Rapid response has often been a driver for a lot of organizations to remain competitive. If you take a look at rapid response, 2020 was a very unprecedented year from a global perspective, purely because the pandemic hit everybody in various different stages. By March, everyone was in a situation where we were working from home and not being able to attend office environments. The demand for technology, the way in which you were probably doing your job whilst you were in the office, was so much more prevalent for us to see, purely because we couldn't pass a piece of paper around anymore. We needed to access technology to do our basic job. Wet signatures were not being taken. It had to be digital signatures. The demand for being responsive to the market was one of the key surges for the adoption of low code. The promise where you do not have to spend huge amounts of time developing through traditional routes, purely because it would have been too late. You needed to react now within a 8 to 12 week, have something ready to go. In certain cases, even quicker.
We've had the role of the user developer seemingly forever. I can remember back in the late 80s, people were writing macros in early office suites in order to be able to do something, and then they distribute that around the rest of the team. People would write small databases to capture names and addresses and then give that to the rest of the team. The challenge always seemed to be that attempting to scale that up created problems between the perception of the interested or educated individual versus the perception of what software should look like. What's changed to allow low code to bridge that resistance?
One of the key challenges, as you described, where users can create macros, they still do in some respects. Excel is probably one of the most commonly used tools where they're able to create rapid applications, should we say. But very soon, you lose control, you lose auditability, you lose any governance. If you're working in a highly regulated industry, one of the aspects of this is how do you ensure that whatever you are performing to carry out your job, the data that is being collected, the decisions that are being made, are being audited, are following the company processes, as well as compliance to come out with the outcomes. With that in mind, the challenge organizations face is there a quicker, a better way in which we can get the results that we want, a rapid application to support that without having to get an end user building it, but really get business and IT collaborate together, not wait several months, but maybe 2 to 6 weeks to get an application that can be used and continue to iterate and improve as you go along, as you figure out what we need to improve on, rather than just hazarding a guess in some respect of what the improvements that make. That is what's changed and why end user computing is starting to sort of dissipate a bit more, purely because low code has started to provide the ability to build applications rapidly.
How do we ensure quality in this? Using a tool and a platform is one thing, but when it comes to testing and verifying and ensuring that it does what it's supposed to do and nothing more, is a wholly challenging set of processes. We go through a lot of testing, we go through a lot of verification of developer-driven code. In low code, we're relying on the platform to do that for us. How easy, particularly in regulated industries, has it been to convince those companies that there's no big risk of malicious code or of code creating problems in their compliance?
There are low-code vendors out there that generate code. That is not us. We don't generate code at the end of the day. As you've highlighted, the ability to test and the ability to ensure quality, security, performance, all of those aspects that need to be available to organizations to be confident that whatever they have developed is going to stand up is important. With Appian, one of our key philosophies and the fundamentals that we've built our application on is to take some of that burden away. We know that one of the challenges of a high code development application requires all of that scalability testing, performance testing, and security testing. This is something that we've taken away with the ability with our business process management, with our robotics process automation, the ability to design powerful user interfaces that will scale and be performant. We've abstracted away and done the hard work ourselves, hence the benefit of a platform. The configuration of a custom application that's needed to meet your business needs is what organizations then can just focus on rather than questioning, is this going to scale? Is this secure? Is this performant? We've done all of that hard work. We've taken all of the best possible practices that are out there to ensure that organizations who then take Appian to build their complex solutions is able to be secure, is scalable, is performant, and can be adopted whether you're using a browser or a mobile technology. It's providing the confidence it will work on all of those environments.
Another part of this, and another part of the struggle between developers and end users, has always been that user experience. No matter how many times you sit with users as a developer to find out what they want, whatever you produce will never be what they want. Because in that high code environment, it takes so long between initial thought and design to production that the way people want to use it or the way they perceive the screen have all changed. How has low code removed that resistance and made the code what the users want and made it more usable to them?
End users and developers, this is a constant battle. But part of the low-code application capabilities that Appian provide is bridge that gap significantly to be able to provide an aesthetically pleasing application as well as a functionally rich experience along with rapidly building something that is tailored to your need is what Appian is there for. Our ability to do that quickly and then work it through with the end users to ensure that this is what they want and how they want to engage, to utilize and consume the application is constantly taking the feedback and then rapidly changing should it not meet their need is one of the promise that Appian puts to the table. We recognize that a blank canvas can be very difficult to paint on, and users when asked, hey, what do you want? Often it's going to be the functional requirements. It needs to do A and it needs to do B. Once you've then put something on the canvas, then it becomes easy to critique. Don't like the look of this, or the color palette's not right. That's when you'd want to use a low-code application to be able to change that and then come back to the end user to demonstrate, does that meet their need? What you find is once you're able to adapt and change and the end user starts to buy in, the confidence starts to grow. Once that confidence grows, the end user starts to buy into the platform play and the results that come out of it. This is no different from some of our customers' experience where engaging both the business as well as the IT who together formulate the application that they want, they're able to create the application that is right for the organization rather than be pushed applications that somebody else thinks is right for the organization. That's the power that Appian brings to the table. We build an application that's fit for your organization, not another organization.
One of the challenges we've always had from a software development standpoint is that the business knows what it needs to compete with the rest of the market, but we're always removed from that environment. How fast have people improved their delivery of applications with low code?
Some of our customers, especially in the health sector when the pandemic hit, were being overburdened with the care that they needed to provide, especially care in the community. One of our clients was able to build an application within 2 weeks to respond to the demand within their local authority. Without a low-code approach, that would not have been possible to build an application that met their needs, that provided auditing at a level to ensure it complies with regulations, it protects the data that is being passed through. Those enterprise scale level details that is often needed to ensure businesses run securely, that's what Appian was able to bring to the table, rapidly build something within a 2 week period for that organization to then put that out to the community. Their feedback has been phenomenal, purely because they were able to respond in a manner which fitted the demand, as opposed to maybe just spinning up a spreadsheet and a Word document and then using emails to communicate. Because then that becomes insecure, information starts to leak, or you forget where you put the information and it may fall between the cracks and no one knows what has happened. It's the ability to provide that level of visibility and control to that organization to achieve that outcome. The feedback from that organization was phenomenal to be able to rapidly do that in such a quick manner. That's from a health perspective. Some of our financial services organizations were able to rapidly respond to the coronavirus interruption loans that the schemes that government had announced. They had to take on the support to offer out the loans that people needed to survive using the traditional means, and what existing application that they had was not fit for purpose. Using low code to be able to develop something within 6 to 8 weeks was a fundamental capability that Appian provided for them to meet the demands, not because it was a share that they wanted to take, but something that the government of this country had asked them to take that responsibility on. And the feedback's been quite phenomenal because they would not have been able to achieve that through traditional coding.
A lot of the perception of low code is it's focused on individuals doing things. The perception of enterprise coding environments is that it's about a team exercise. Now, we've been scattered to the four winds over the last year. How have you been able to evolve what you do from an enterprise perspective, not just engage the developer teams to speed up what they do, but also be able to engage collaboratively with users who are just all over the place?
One of the advantages of Appian, we're a cloud-based organization offering a platform to allow building. Wherever you are in the four corners of the earth, you can log in and start to collaborate together, both business and IT, to ensure what is being produced is to the highest standard and to the expectation that the business needs. Security notwithstanding, there are certain organizations that only allow certain people to come in. And those are very important aspects that we need to consider. But collaboration, you're bang on right, is very important. And Appian has definitely provided that capability where not only the developers or the IT folks who need to build the applications have access, but also the business people who also need to see and collaborate in what is being produced can also come in and provide insights into what needs to change or add or amended. The cloud environment has definitely helped organizations become better at collaborating because you remove the barrier where everything's in a very secure data center where only an internal person can access, and then offer the ability to collaborate outside of that, but with the right security credentials as well to ensure that you can see what is being produced and what needs to be altered in order to meet the demands.
How much has that changed customers' expectation from you? If they'd all been in an office, the level of collaboration would have been very different. Now that they're spread around, they're getting used to meetings through Zoom and other technologies. They're learning how to work remotely, but still work as members of teams. But that brings up other challenges that have to be addressed at that point in time. And successful projects always bring demand for more. They bring demands for, perhaps we could have done this. It would have been nice if we'd have been able to add that. Are you seeing an increased feedback from the customer base as to new feature requirements?
Continuous improvement in any application is something that we encourage. It's important because you're never standing still. You need to continuously improve and innovate. We've seen our customers asking for new ways of handling requests or handling cases or handling automation. The elements in which Appian brings to the table is we can build what they need using our capabilities that is out of the box. We're not having to go off and bespoke build or even go into any high code elements. We're able to use and build some of the demands, some of the new features that are being requested by our customers quite quickly. But also if we're using third-party tools to integrate and leverage some and harness the power of, say, an AI engine to bring into the Appian platform, that can be done very easily where some other technologies may find that very difficult, and especially in high code, that can be very, very challenging. What you also find is with the adoption where people are comfortable working in a remote environment, coming into a Zoom call or a Hangout, what that has allowed people to do is become more innovative and more effective communicators through video calls by using different mechanisms. They may not have access to a whiteboard in a meeting room, but you've got a digital board that allows you to show and discuss some of your thoughts and ideas. These are ways in which organizations have adopted bringing new ideas to table, but at the same time, what Appian's able to be take that information and then be able to transpose that into a business outcome rapidly and demonstrate this is how this can be done. Some of the work can be done directly in Appian, but some of it can also be done in other technologies to collaborate with whiteboards as such.
One of the big issues for traditional development has always been how long it takes to produce an app versus the life of the application. When I first came into this industry in the 1980s, it didn't matter if you took a year to build an app because it was going to have a 5, 6, 8, 10 year lifespan. Now we see a lot of apps that have a lifespan that's measured in months. And that forced a lot of shadow IT. People went out and they found bits of cloud services or they went and bought from a third party. How much has low-code helped to remove a lot of that shadow IT? And what do you see going forwards in terms of that alliance between low-code and app lifecycle?
It's a fantastic question. In my past, I definitely have also been a part of that shadow IT community. You've got to ask the question why that occurs. It often comes down to the accessibility to the IT folks who actually build the application. If you turn to your IT department right now and said, hey, I need an app that intakes some information, does a piece of logic, and provides me a result, the IT team will say, sure, we'll see you in 9 months. They are burdened with so much other IT work, which is keeping them so busy. The keeping the lights on is what they're focused on, and no innovation can be done. Hence, businesses that need something to be done are often turning to the shadow IT where they could quite easily take a small application and it just does one piece of work. One person may know how to do it and they leave the organization. There you now have a supportability problem. These challenges have definitely emerged significantly. Companies have had to take a stance in order to ensure they select tools that can rapidly provide those outcomes to build simple as well as complex applications within 2 to 6 to 8 weeks. One of our promises, you may be aware, is something called the Appian Guarantee. We promise that within 8 weeks, we will produce a minimum viable product into production with our low-code application to demonstrate the speed and power in which organizations can really do it themselves. This is one key example that has helped organizations transition away from shadow IT. We can build something bespoke within that time frame that meets our goals and our demands to support our business.
That issue of simplicity is something we've been searching for in the 35, 40 years I've been around this business. And we've had all sorts of attempts to make code simpler, to make code more consumable. How much has low code made that an easier proposition for people by enabling them to build small pieces of code that can then be put together at a later point, which in its own way makes code more sustainable?
One of the fundamentals is in Appian, we don't write code. As I said, what we end up doing is we draw our intent. We click and point and configure the intent that we want, whether that's a user interface, whether it's a business process, whether it's a business rules, whether we want to see data in a particular way. One of the major objectives of Appian is to minimize and simplify the journey to build an application. To build an application itself is already complex, but to have the burden of managing code makes it even more complex. Our platform is very much designed to help organizations benefit from our work that we've done to bring and standardize the ability to draw the outputs that they need for their business without having to go into write code, but build it in such a way every object becomes reusable, whether that's an integration, whether that is the business rule, whether it's a user interface, or even a section within a user interface. These are then what you call your constituent parts, that one may build a loan origination application, but if you separate it and configure it in a slightly different way and add a few more reusable objects, you may build a customer onboarding application. It's the power of reusability is what Appian offers in abundance to ensure that you're not just building silos, but you are genuinely building that fits horizontally across your business.
How is that playing out to customers' digital transformation plans? If I look around a lot of digital transformation, people first of all seem to think this is a one-shot deal. We'll do a digital transformation of the business and that's it. The reality is that many companies are going to undergo many phases of digital transformation. And the challenge for them will be, how do you build on your first phase to your second phase to your third phase? Reusability becomes an absolutely key element here, both from objects, but also from processes that people have defined. Do you see enough maturity from customers to understand multiple rounds of digital transformation? And how do you see yourselves accelerating that?
An organization used to think it's in a lifetime transformation project. And a lot of organizations realize that it's not. They continuously have to digital transform. If you think about the first adoption of digital transformation, getting off paper into the digital world was the first steps that you started to take the digital transformation. A lot of organizations are still having to do that piece of transformation. Those that have moved along the journey and are more mature in the digital are then continuously evolving that digital transformation. In the past, it was about, hey, can I get visibility of data? Can I take some simple business rules? Those were types of things that organizations were focused on. But now the world has come and provided a very different capability. And this is, you know, the use of artificial intelligence. Now that's become accessible to everybody, how can we bring the ability to further automate and help the humans make better decisions based on artificial intelligence? Bringing that into the equation starts to give the next evolution of transformation, where businesses are looking to adopt and optimize and become far more efficient in the way they serve the end customer at large. That transformation can only happen if, as we talked about, is simplifying the ability to leverage those additional technologies. Organizations are not ready to say just only use Amazon or Google or Microsoft. They may want to use an IBM technology or any different open source vendor that's providing some AI services. The ability to choose is important, but something has to bind that together. This is where Appian's simplicity to allow organizations to use best of breed technology and then orchestrate that through allows them to gain the next level of digital transformation that is occurring and we are seeing. Again, the coronavirus pandemic in 2020 has accelerated a lot of that. A lot of CIOs are definitely thinking along those sort of lines, is how can we start to make better informed and quicker decisions in order to ensure that we keep our customer or we gain more of their market share through the use of these next generation of digital transformation.
So is it time to stop talking about digital transformation and talk about continuous transformation?
That's definitely the right word, continuous transformation. If you take a look at humans we never stop learning. We continuously learn wherever we may get that information from, newspaper, the internet, talking to somebody. Businesses continue to evolve in the same way. They will have to continuously change to meet market demands, purely because if they don't, somebody else will come and eat that particular pie. I'm sure large organizations that are well established do not want to give up any of that share. Fintechs are a classic example of giving a good run for the money to the established financial organizations. They are having to transform digitally, leveraging technologies like low-code to help them make sure that they remain current and relevant.
So here's where it always gets fun on my podcast. Let's say you're faced with a room of people who are just starting out on their low-code journey. They're not really sure why they want to do this. They got an idea, maybe. What are the top three things they should be taking away and using to start their journey?
It's a fantastic question. For me, if I was the recipient of that message, I'd be interested in how do I continuously provide innovation to my end users and my end customers? And how do I do it quickly? Innovation in 12 months versus 12 weeks, there's a fundamental difference. If I'm innovating in 12 months, I've lost people's attention span. If you want to continuously keep your customers and increase your customer base, leverage low-code in order to bring the innovation into the market. Automation is probably the next key piece. We have a finite amount of resources to perform work, and more demand are coming to make the right decision and make it the first time. To do that, information needs to be made available to the end user with possibly the use of some artificial intelligence and business rule to help them guide them to make the right decision. Using automation allows organizations to adopt technologies like AI, adopt the ability to ensure they get the answers right first time and not leave customers hanging around. Finally, if you're looking at the investment can be realized for every low-code application that has been built. Take a Forrester report, 2019, 84% of the application built in low-code have seen 100% return on investment. It's not a frugal investment. It's one that will always return the money and also justify the investment that you've made in order to help push the business forward.
I think that last point is something people overlook. I find very few people who can actually give me any valid return of investment on the money they've spent internally on building software over the years.
It's a very hard one to measure. I have been part of some enormous projects where multi-million pounds have been spent with very little to show over a two-year period. It's astonishing where we have come over the last several years that in a 12-week period or less, you can actually have a fully scalable, performance, robust application up and running, supporting the business. If that was something that was told to me 20 years ago, I would have pinched myself. Maybe I wouldn't have taken that bet at that time. That's the best way to put it.
Sitha, thank you for talking with me today.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ian. I really appreciate your time.